chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. I gave Ben some of my scriptures, but I kind of jump around, so good luck. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. See, there's an amazing, miraculous thing that happens when something catches on fire and burns. Amen. If I was to boil a pot of water, it would eventually all evaporate and turn to steam. But if somehow I captured that steam, collected it, returned to its former attributes as a liquid form of H2O, water. But if I take these papers or this pulpit or this lovely carpet, the pastor would kill me if I did. If I burned it, if I set it on fire, I can't put carpet back from ashes. I can't rebuild this. As good as Brother Ogard is, I don't think if I brought him a box of charred wood, he could make it look as nice and pretty as he did here. Because fire completely changes whatever it engulfs. It's no longer the same. It's different. It is a different element. It turns to charcoal. 2 Corinthians 12 and chapter 9 and 10 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with my weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If you can give me a moment of your time, I'm going to teach, preach, talk, whatever you want to call it, on something the Lord gave me while I was in my tenure at TBC. Not knowing I would preach this here one day, being honest, at this point, not knowing I would preach at all. This was simply a word that the Lord gave to me. And in this time, I feel is asking, I give to you. That word is pain to potential. From pain to potential. If we can pray for this service and for God to take and do his will tonight. Today. Lord God, we worship you. We bring ourselves as a living sacrifice unto you, God. Lord, I ask you, anoint my lips that I proclaim your word as you've given it to me, that I don't take any liberties where you do not see fit, God. Lord, anoint and mold their hearts so that they are willing to accept and hear this word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. For your will and your will alone. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I mentioned I was at TBC when this word came to me. And for me, a lot of people had different experiences. For me, TBC was definitely a time of molding and shaping in my life. I had a lot of things in my mind, in my spirit, and just some things that I thought that the Lord had to remove, to pick and mold. But there was also times when the Lord had to set me down and instill some things in me and put some things in me that I didn't always have or have the knowledge to nurture. And I believe that we all have some things that God needs to remove and correct us about. But sometimes there are some things that we forget and we need to have put back in us. And some things that we need to be reminded of. Some qualities of our God that we need to be reminded of. You see, I was in a place in my life that I had probably little to no faith. And I don't mean faith as in believing there was a God. As far as I wanted to and ran when I was younger, I knew there was a God. I couldn't get away from that. Because the Bible says if you raise up a child in the way it should go, it will not depart. It's there. You can't get away from it. So I knew there was a God. My problem is I didn't know who my God was. And so I found that in my life, there was a problem. And that problem was that me and maybe some of my classmates, maybe some of us here today, stop believing that God can truly do anything. And when I mean anything, when I say anything, I truly mean anything. And see, we come with the knowledge that there's a God to church. I promise you, maybe there's some people struggling, but there's no atheist in this place. Everyone knows there's a God. Even atheists know there's a God. How can you argue a God if you... Anyways, that's not this. Everyone knows there's a God. But sometimes we don't fully understand or experience or use our faith to the extent. So we come in, we know there's a God, we clap. We sing, we dance, we raise our hand. And we want to feel what everybody else is feeling. We see people here today worshiping, getting a touch, something that they need from God. And we want that. We want to get to that point, but there's something here. And we can't seem to break through. And we see, God, I'm struggling. You're supposed to know where I am. And I see them every service. They run. And they, every service, they worship. They worship you so hard and so powerfully, but I know what they go through. We're friends. They ain't got no money. How? How do they worship you so strongly? What is this? How do I get past this? And we find ourselves with so much faith in other things besides our God. I'm going to get a little touchy here. You ready? Again, this was to me first. When we find ourselves sick and tired and beat down, and we have depression and anxiety, our first response is, whew, how do you go to the doctor? I got thoughts. I got this hard thing on my chest. Feels like someone's sitting on top of me every time I wake up and every time I go to bed. I can't get past it. And my neighbor said, there's a little pill I can take. It goes away. Understand me right here, right now, before I move on. I am not preaching against medication. I'm not preaching against physicians. What I am preaching against is someone who has more faith in their doctor and more faith in their medication than the God who created them, than the God who knows how many hairs you have on their head. I'm preaching against having too much faith in things of this world than having faith in your God. And what we do is we're building our own wall and our own separation between our own deliverance. And our faith says, our spirit says, He can heal me. Our spirit cries out to our Creator and says, He's the master. But our flesh says, I need to do this. What are they going to think if I'm too weak? What are they going to think if I'm at the altars every service? Are they going to think that I don't know God? Are they going to think that I'm living in sin? Our faith and our spirit says, who cares what they think? I need God. I need to be connected to my Creator. I need a lifeline to my deliverance. And sometimes I think we misunderstand what our life here on earth is supposed to be like. I think we misunderstand that we are supposed to live a wonderful and terrific life, and everything is supposed to be great. And then we make a bunch of money because we give a bunch of tithes, and then we praise and we clap. So, you know, the trials of life aren't supposed to touch us. We show up at 6. We pray. We show up on Tuesdays. So, you know, my car's not supposed to break down. My kid's not supposed to walk away from the faith. My mother isn't supposed to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Are you kidding me? I show up 30 minutes before church. And we have this idea that this is a magical place, and one day God will come back, He will bring us up, and we'll just float off with Jesus. Which is a very similar idea to what the Jewish people had when their Savior showed up. Their faith said that my God will be a warrior and He will come and deliver us from these evil Romans. And we'll be put on a hill and we'll be the best and He'll show them all who's really boss. And then their Messiah shows up on a donkey. Peter preached after the first Holy Ghost fire. Paul brought the greatest revival of his time. Moses saved God's people from slavery. Joseph saved all of Israel. Daniel refused to stop worshiping even when faced with death. And we want that. We want those moments. We want that on fire for God moment where everything bows and everything's going your way and the money's flowing in and we're driving a Mercedes and our life is just top grade. But Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was stoned to death. Joseph was sent in prison multiple times. Daniel was thrown in a lion's den. And we think that because we do all the things A to B, that we're supposed to have a carefree life. And we're immune from these trials of life. But this is a cold and dark world that we live in. And we aren't promised anything except salvation. And so we look back at Paul and we're excited. Paul was excited to go through the hard times. Not because Paul was some weirdo who loved pain and sorrow, but because he understood that through his failure, through his weakness, there is a God who will shine his light upon him and bring him through. See, we were never promised a life, a sorrowful free life. We were promised a life with God. Each and every one of us will go through hard times, real hard times. We will face problems that people will never understand. Problems that will change our way of thinking throughout the rest of our lives. What do you say to a mother who's lost her baby? Or a husband who's lost his wife after just being married 3 months? What do you say to someone who's paralyzed because someone thought it would be a good idea to drink and drive? How do you make sense of these things? What about a boy or a girl so bullied in school that they do the easiest thing that they think they can do to make it stop? And so now you have a set of parents trying to pick up the pieces of their family and make sense of things. It's not a pretty world that we live in. We can't pretend that this is heaven. And that it's perfect, because it's not. And this isn't our home. So when Paul said, bring it on, I don't care what you do to me here, because this isn't my home. You can do whatever you want to me, because I serve a God who is bigger than you, who's bigger than you, who's bigger than sin, who has the keys to hell, death, and the grave. You can do whatever you want to me, because my God is a living God. It doesn't matter if we find ourselves in instances where we can't comprehend life, because the Word, the Bible, says He'll send a peace that surpasses all understanding. I serve a God who can reach down in the ashes of a burnt idol and pull up a new creature, a new being. The Lord has not gifted me the gift of knowledge. I've met and known pastors who can look at you and read your mail like you wrote it on your forehead. I don't have that, so you're safe. Don't worry. I have enough wisdom not to do it here in someone else's pulpit too. I don't have that gift. You know what you're going through. You know what you face every day. You know what you look at in the mirror when you're brushing your teeth. You know the thoughts that are in your mind when you go to bed. I don't know these things. These are the things that I do know. You serve a God who is faithful. Amen. You serve a God who is all-knowing. Amen. You serve a God who is omniscient, all-powerful. Amen. You serve a God who said, I will be your Savior. Amen. You serve a God who said, I am the healer. Amen. You serve a God who said, I am the great counselor. Amen. You serve the God who said, come to me and I will give you rest. Amen. These are the things that I know. I know a God who says, I can do anything and everything that you need. I serve a God who said, I know the sorrow that you feel in your heart. I know the twisted, divided mind that you have, and I can help you. There are a couple of Hebrew boys who knew the cost of serving God, but they also knew the delivering power of God. I'm going to read the story, or part of it, and it's kind of lengthy, so bear with me. I will pronounce these words wrong. I'm terrible at regular English, so you can imagine my old English. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16 through 25 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And if he will deliver us, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. This is faith. This is faith. These are three boys. These are not three Lee Stone King and Gordon Poe, and these aren't men who've seen miracles, and these are three boys. I'm getting off topic here. I do that a lot. These are three boys who said, we're not bowing down to your idol. We're not going to live by your way of life. We're not going to fall into your way of thinking. We're not going to go to the things that you go to. We're not going to give ourselves to the culture that you give yourself to. Because we serve a God who's bigger than your God, who's stronger than your God. And you can threaten me all you want, because he will deliver me. That's faith. It says God will deliver me. But this is also faith. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the golden image that you have set up. This is what we say. World, I'm not going to live by the standards that you call good. I'm not going to live by what you see as great or what you see as acceptable. And my God will deliver me from your hand. But if not, O world, know this. I'm still not going to serve. You can kill me. You can persecute me. You can judge me. You can say I hate my neighbor. You can say I hate the people who I'm here to save and give freedom to. You can kill me, whole world. And I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to give in to your idol that you have set up. And old Nebuchadnezzar, this king, he was filled with such fury. And the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The enemy's mad at you. Every day your lifestyle, every day your holiness, every day your willingness to worship, your willingness to give is a slap in the face to the enemy. Because it knows what it lost. It can't feel the presence of God anymore. And so it says, you know what? I'm going to make this world 7 times worse than it's ever been. And I'm going to bind your hands so that you can't do anything and you have to take what this world is thrown at you. I'm going to give you depression and I'm going to give you anxiety so that you're not free to lift your hands, so that you're not free to help the neighbor next to you unshackle their chains. You're not free to step over this stronghold that the enemy has put in front of you. I'm going to bind you with financial troubles. I'm going to bind you with guilt and shame. I'm going to bind you with your low self-confidence and your low self-worth to where you think that God can't use you. And I'm going to whisper lies into your ear. The word says that the enemy is the father of all lies. In Sunday school, we're learning about the armor of God. If you read the armor of God, every bit of it protects you from lies. The sword is what delivers you from strongholds and shackles and chains. The word of the Lord. But the armor, its goal is to protect you from lies of the enemy. Because he will whisper little things in your ear that says you're not good enough. And people know your past. What do you think they'll say? You think they're going to take you serious in a pulpit? They knew you when you were a kid. He whispers lies. And he binds your hands from doing what the word has asked you to do. Amen. And Daniel says in this word, he says, and they cast them into this burning fiery furnace that was heated seven times. These men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments. And they were thrown into this burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent, and the furnace was overheated. The flame of the fire killed the men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound, tied together, into a burning fiery furnace. Then the king was astonished and rose up in haste and declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? And they answered and said, true, O king. And he said, but I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and it does not hurt him. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the God. What the enemy did to bind them and to kill them, God said, I'm going to use to deliver you. I'm going to take the trials that the enemy puts you through that binds you and holds you. And I'm going to take what he meant to kill you. And I'm going to use it to deliver you. The very fire that was meant to burn them, burn their bounds, burn their ties, burn their cloaks, their hats. It burned what was meant to hold them. And it freed them. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. I'm asking you, where is your faith? We serve the one who can erase cancer, who can give you peace, who can extend strength. But do we believe that he can do these things anymore? Do we believe the stories of old? Ones like I just read, ones like Moses, who brought the Israelites out of Egypt, who was a pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night, miraculous, wonderful feats. Do we believe that that God is alive? Do we believe that that God is ours? Do we believe? Do we believe he still saves his people? I don't want our people blaming God for things that he had nothing to do, for trials that he did not order, but he will turn and use for your benefit. He will show you the very God who some of us, myself including at times, have forgotten he is. He is the God who can do anything. He is the God who can save three young boys. He's the God who can deliver Joseph out of the enemy's hands. Things that they thought they were doing to spite him ended up saving a nation. The enemy thought he had Paul. thought he had him dead to rights, had him killing the very people he was meant to love. And then Jesus steps in and says, I'm here, Paul. I know what you've done, and I'm here to change it. The musicians are free to come. The enemy tries to kill all of us spiritually. And he tries to do it in ways that we think we have no power in overcoming. He takes our very faith. But not faith in God that he exists. Because the Bible says that they have a measure of understanding, but they lack the power within. He doesn't care if you believe in God. He knows God exists. He didn't come to this earth to create atheists. He came to this earth to take your faith. He came to this earth to take the thing that he knew could save you and deliver you from the trials of life. He came to take your faith and the power of God. First Peter 1, 3 and 7 says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefined, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for salvation and ready to be revealed in the last time. This is your promise. This is what we hold on to. That salvation is given. He says, in this rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is all by the revelation and knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. God is our Savior. He is everything that we could have ever hoped for. If we can stand right now. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And this is because human eyesight cannot see by itself in the dark. And so we must have faith for the dark times. Times when we can't see what's right in front of our face. So we trust God and we give it to him. Because he can do greater things in the dark than I could do with him in the light. If we trust God and we trust his plan, we will never have to worry about our own abilities. We will only have to trust the God that we serve. If we grasp the understanding that God can truly do whatever we need him to do, he will use the very trials that the enemy meant to hold you down. And he will turn them into your greatest testimony. Amen. have a chance here today that no matter what we feel, no matter what we face in our day and our walk with God, no matter what our mind rationalizes, our God is greater than that. No matter how big we can imagine God in our own mind, no matter how powerful we can think He may be, He is better. And He is bigger. No matter what strongholds you face in your mind and in your daily life that you think God cannot handle, He can do much more than the little things that we fight here. As Paul said, so be it if I have to be. This is Marco's Standard Version. So be it if I have to be here and experience a few trials, because my treasure is laid up in heaven. And there will I keep my eyes. Today, if you find yourself in a trial, if you find yourself in a situation where you don't know where to turn, these altars are open. If you find yourself not knowing how you're going to pay rent, not knowing how you're going to get past the depression, how you're going to get past anxiety, how you can't stop yourself from feeling angry, if you don't know how you're going to fulfill the calling that you feel in your life, these altars are open to reach out to a God who is bigger and ready to answer every question, every need, every want. Because the enemy says, I'm big and I'm strong and I'm like a lion. But God said, I am the lion. And I will protect you. If you find yourself in a place that you don't know what to do, these are the moments where God answers us. These are the moments where God changes our way of thinking and instills in us the reminder of how big and great and powerful He truly is. The worship that we felt at the beginning of this service is the catalyst that will germinate the idea and the understanding of how big your God is. And so in these moments, like Jacob and like Abraham, we build altars, pillars, so that when we look back, we see what God has done for us. No matter what we feel, no matter what trials we establish are so great, God is so greater. And this is our opportunity to refocus on what is important in this life and what is true and faithful. And that is your God. Your God is everything. He is all power. Build an altar. Build a pillar.